Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Oh my goodness, that's just given me like severe anxiety. I was like, ah.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always, as usual, for making your way here, checking out the episode and the series. Please do hit the subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we put out every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep up with your favorite artist and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, WFPK.org, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me. I'm Kyle Meredith, talking today with Suki Waterhouse. We're going to be discussing her debut album, I Can't Let Go. Suki is an actress and a musician, and we're going to jump into, we're going to hear about looking to Lucinda Williams and Sharon Van Etten as inspirations, separating herself from the original emotions that the songs were written about, and the self-sabotaging moments in The Devil I Know and the voyeuristic nature of the internet. Suki's also going to talk about her upcoming role in Daisy Jones and the Six. We're going to hear about digging into Fleetwood Mac and the 70s rock for the role. Also, her upcoming tour with Father John Misty. So let's do this, shall we? It's Kyle Meredith with Suki Waterhouse.
Hi, Kyle. Hi. I'm so happy to be chatting with you. Very, very excited.
Yeah, it's so great to have you. And seriously, congratulations on this record. It's it's beautiful and it's dark and it's fun and it's funny at times. I mean, you've kind of thrown in all the emotions here. Let me just throw that out. Congratulations on this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad it's got you from all different angles.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because so you've been putting out music for a few years now, dropping a little one-offs for at least five, 6 years, I guess, something like that. What made it time now to finally say, okay, it's time for an actual album?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of nervousness and anxiety about putting out music and was kind of at war with myself for a long time about how I felt and how I felt like it would maybe be received. So when I first put out the first song about 6 years ago, it was a song called Brutally. It was very cool because it was kind of like a moment where I got to like kind of have like a genuine moment of honesty with myself and get to share it. And then that's kind of what started me releasing like a couple of things, and it was very like slow, like one a year. And then I think to be honest, it was kind of like the whole end of the world, like middle of the pandemic, where it's just like there was a sort of desperation inside of myself where I was like, okay, you have to get over yourself and go and finish this. Like you're desperate to do this. You think about it every day. You've been writing for years. Like, come on, make this happen. And so a little bit of that, you know, end of the world panic, I think definitely pushed me over the edge.
So when it came down to it, I mean, by the way, that pushed a lot of us over the edge towards
right,
something,
yeah.
I think. Yeah. When it came down to it, though, I mean, did you start to think about the songs as a group? Did you see them as telling one big picture at that point?
I think it's kind of like the way that I would write, I would always get very, very focused on a concept, or like usually I start with lyrics, and it would be kind of like one, you know, something like like the song Moves, it would just be like something that would play over and over my head. And I think like the kind of lyrics that I the kind of picking up lyrics from things that I couldn't get rid of and then piecing them together into a song, and then that being with like a bunch of them, really. So it was kind of like this scattered, it felt very scattered throughout the years, but then you kind of like look back on it and you're like, no, this is like a tapestry of the last like 6-7 years of my life that are all pieced together now.
Well, it does fit together like in a beautiful way, because it does seem like one complete piece, you know, which is when it comes to an album, I know as a fan what I'm hoping for it. And you know, as we still get to know you as a musician too, I've heard you talk in other interviews just even about your musical heroes. You and I have a lot of very similar tastes, it sounds like, when you name check folks like Fiona Apple and Sharon Van Etten and Amy Mann and Lucinda Williams. My God, I love Lucinda Williams. Like, how is she referenced on this record? Because it's not immediately obvious in the songs.
First of all, yeah, Lucinda Williams is my absolute idol. And she's playing the House of Blues in New Orleans, where I am right now. Just found out. And I'm like, oh, two nights. I'm going to be there for two nights for sure. But I think like her, some of the way that she would write, it was like I found myself wanting to recreate in my own life like things I'd heard through her lyrics. Like there are certain lines like when I slept in the blue behind your eyelids, and you know, like things like that that would like stay with me much longer, and it would kind of be like a voice that would that follows you around, like that, those kinds of the way that she speaks and the way that she like, I don't know, yeah, fills your entire mind like long after you've listened to the song. So I think, I mean, that's like a example of how I've been like very inspired by her. Not to say that that's that I've achieved anything like Lucinda Williams, but that's definitely a way that I've been very inspired by her. And Sharon Van Etten too, has always been like a massive inspiration. And like, I think like you were saying, like the way she's able to be funny. One of my favorite lines from Sharon Van Etten is like, you know, like that song and Every Time the Sun Comes Up, where she talks about like doing someone's dishes, but taking a, I don't know if you can say the word.
See, I knew exactly what you were going to go for there, right? Too, as soon as you said.
Taking a poop in your,
well, you can say shit. It's fine. It's,
you
know.
Can? Okay, okay. You said it, not me.
I said it. It's all fine. It just occurred to me, actually, what Lucinda's also got. She does that song on Car Wheels, Can't Let Go. So you've got that little coincidence there. That's part of it.
I always love, yeah. She has such cool phrases, like, I always love like pedal to the metal, when she in Fruits of My Labor as well. That song, yeah, I'll definitely listen to a lot. But like I think Sharon Van Etten, and how I came to meet Brad Cook, who produced my album, was I was listening to a lot of his Golden Messenger at the time, and like that. The way that those were produced, and like there's a song called Cat's Eyes Blue that really like stuck out to me, and I think that was what made me go like, oh, I think this is the person that I'd love to work with, because I hadn't really you know, it was all like very kind of like a like solo project endeavor, because I also didn't like have that much opportunity to go into studios and be working with writers and producers. So when it came to kind of finding somebody to, you know, produce this album and to make it like a cohesive thing, he was that song really led me to Brad.
Yeah, and his Golden Messenger, by the way, complete props on that. That's needs to be a much bigger artist, much more known, because his stuff is incredible every time.
Yeah. No, it really is. I was really lucky that I kind of heard all those records and was talking to Dave Sittick from TV on the Radio, who who had kind of been somebody that I've known for like a few years, and we've been to the Sonic Ranch studios together and written down there, and he happened to have worked with him recently on their friends on the Neverly Boys record. So I kind of, it was like during the pandemic, and I reached out to Brad, and then I was telling Dave what I was doing, and he's like, well, I'm friends with him, you know? And I was like, well, please tell him that, you know, tell him to say yes, please, please. when we got connected, and then, you know, because of all of the pandemic stuff, I didn't actually get to meet Brad before working with him, and was just like, I don't know, it's a strange like instinctual thing where you're like, no, I'm gonna figure out how to get to North Carolina and go and hang out with him for a few weeks.
Yeah, it's good company you keep. It's absolutely, I mean, all of those artists that you're naming. And then, you know, when you turn and look, and I talked about the darkness of the record too, and I'll take from some of your other interviews, you know, you talk about some of these songs coming from a time in your life that, you know, depression was part of it, a toxic relationship was part of it, you know, and now that you've compiled these, now that they're here, what's the trick to revisiting this material in a healthy way? Because, you know, to play these live and revisit that's got to be one part of rawness to something, but is there, do you have to have that separation for yourself at this point?
Yeah, no, I think like when I first started working at like 15 or 16, there's, and you know, having been in kind of like modeling and acting world like from a very young age, I think I always had like this thing inside of me that's actually like very separate from all of, you know, that other stuff that I was doing, that was like this kind of like alien inside of me that wanted to like express myself through music. So I've always had it. It's always been this like companion. And you know, like while a lot of my other life was like trying to be like, you're always trying to like fit into these boxes of, and kind of, there's like a heavy kind of critical element to it that is like quite suffocating in lots of ways. And I had this companion of music for all of that time. And I think there is so much truth in the ability of like that, of how music and putting out that truth kind of helps you transform and have a space. And you can start like seeing these like things of the past as a story that you tell, and it's not, you're not so inside of them as you maybe were.
What's interesting too, as a listener, and I will take some assumptions here, that, you know, the album starts not only with, you know, the first things we really hear out of your mouth is how you're compared to somebody else, but within that song, within Move, you have the line fading into oblivion. And then almost at the very end, with Still, you know, you have you leaving like a ghost. And it almost, you know, and so I don't know, for you looking back on it, if you can see your sense of self, but it's almost as if, you know, and you're younger, as you were saying, you're much younger in these, you know, in these moments here, but do you get a grasp on that, like who you were at the time? Because it's almost like there are those moments where you're just trying to fade out of the picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think like in some ways it's like kind of like a handshake with your former self. When you kind of like, when you move through like the writing process and put it out into the world. But I've lost my way on that one. it was like right there in my brain, and then it just went. But we're talking about how
it's your sense of self, yeah, with like I said, kind of fading into the background almost, or trying to maybe to escape a situation, you know.
Yeah, I think you can definitely like a lot of what I was thinking about, what I always think about when I'm writing, is like taking like looking at your own desires and like kind of like actually really looking at your own desires, and you look back on your life and you I think it's like much more interesting to
almost like take a responsibility for what your desires were, rather than like, you know, like wash over them. And I think like, yeah, a lot of this album was like looking at myself like in a real way, and like thinking about like the voids that I was trying to fill, and like a lot of like questioning, like, you know, will I always have those voids, and will I always want to be to fill those voids, and like how like, if yeah, desires cracking into one another, and like, yeah, intense love and intense like you know, coming apart at the seams.
Well, you get that too, and you know, we talk about the humor in the record, and maybe that's a little bit in The Devil I Know, which, you know, I've absolutely loved playing on WFBK as well. But you know, like that, to me, it feels like that's one of those moments where you're saying, listen, I know it's bad for me, but whatever, you know, fuck right. it, I'm gonna do it anyway. That's
right. Yeah the kind of, yeah, the sabotage nature of like, and I think, yeah, and there's a, you know, I always think about like how, you know, the things that you're attracted to, and like, you know, how like it definitely takes like an introspective like, it really takes like a lot of investigation inside yourself to like really find why you kind of, you know, keep going back into things that you know aren't good for you. And sometimes in life it just is fun to kind of, you know, mess yourself up a little bit.
Makes for a good song anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, that's the thing. Yeah, if you get a song out of it, then I never regret anything.
That's totally worth it.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, and then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now, or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
There is a song on here called Bullshit on the Internet. And mm-hmm. and you've spoken about it too, saying something about you being fascinated by voyeuristic impulses. Mm-hmm. And that's, I feel like through a lot of this record, through at least certain points of this record, like I almost feel like I'm a voyeur, you know, even though I'm just the innocent bystander, I'm listening. But, you know, you are an actress, as you said, you have been a model, you're in a celebrity relationship, you know, to some degree, you know, do you have the grasp on when you put this out there, you know, and how it's going to land in people's ears? Because you'll always have those fans who are going to be looking for those, you know, they're going to be digging deeper in, I guess, does it come across to you as voyeuristic the way you're putting it out, the way fans will hear it?
Yeah, I think that song is like kind of, I kind of saw it as like I kind of feel like the relationship, like kind of in a way, like the internet, like it's like that kind of like that kind of attention that actually I think is a lot of the time it's like, you know, it is obviously a choice of what you like choose to go and see, what, you know, see like how, what's unfurling about yourself like on the internet. But it's kind of can become like incredibly compulsive in a way, to, it's like very difficult to not know. I feel like everyone kind of struggles from that. It's kind of amazing how like across the board, like, you know, I meet so many different people in all these different kinds of fields, and it can really like, it, I don't know, like everyone seems to really struggle with it these days.
And my comment section is nowhere near big as your comment section, and mine's rough still, every now and then, you know.
It kind of is an interesting thing that I'm kind of like weirdly grateful for, because it's like anything that you could think about yourself and like way worse you know, like people will like point out, and it's like, okay. So if you can kind of, and you know, and sometimes you're like, yeah, okay, like I can get bashed for that. Like I totally get it. But it's, yeah, I think I kind of was like, I've started to see it as like a sort of id self outside of yourself, that like in a weird way, like, yeah, I'm kind of now quite grateful for in a strange way, because it's like I think I've kind of gotten to the point where you can like like see it as like a tidal wave that can just be like in a constant flow of change. Like it really, like if you sit with it for long enough, you're like, it can it really just like moves so much. If I can just stay somewhat poised, then like it won't rock me as much.
The balance on top of the wave.
That's, yes.
You know, but I guess it's good if it doesn't break. That means you're still on the conscious mind.
Yeah.
Or something. You know, I talk about voyeurism. I'll ask this one, and I'm not trying to be voyeuristic here because I'm getting to a point, but you and your boyfriend's also dabbles in music as well. And I think for me, it's just kind of a fascinating angle that writing with anyone, making music with anyone, is such a vulnerable thing to do, you know, and for you all being both musicians, I mean, do you take that opportunity, or is this a place where you all write together, play together? Because having the relationship and having that kind of thing, I think everybody's kind of fascinated when they hear two musicians, you know, are coupling up.
There's no couple up on this record there, no.
Although I don't mean on this record, I just kind of mean in life, because that's you know, it's a cool position to be in.
He would kill me if I spoke about anything about him about on the guitar, so I think I'll leave that.
Let's talk about you on the piano then, because I've heard with one of your upcoming projects, Daisy Jones and the Six, right, that you had to learn piano.
Yeah, well, I've been on the B3 organ. That was kind of a great, like, that when it's funny like how things have like weirdly kind of matched up at the same time, because we've been shooting Daisy Jones 6, which is an amazing book by Taylor Jenkins Reid, which kind of documents like the rise and fall of a band in the 70s. But yeah, the keyboardist, I play Karen Serco. So we kind of, yeah, around like the beginning of like March 2020 is when we were about to start, we were kind of rehearsing to start shooting. And then that didn't happen. We got delayed, and I just moved, I went back to London and moved an entire B3 organ into my apartment, and it was the best time, because it was like, okay, you're going to do 3 hours a day, and they we've had piano lessons and guitar lessons, and Blake Mills has written all the music for the show, so like some of my castmates have like literally learned how to play side guitar like Blake Mills, like, do you know, all of the parts, like they've been really given a huge gift, like they're like, whoa, we can do this now. But you know, yeah, because we got so much longer, so I kind of managed to, I had like, it was great to have that kind of like, that 3 hours a day. And by the end, I was like, you know, playing like Bach and all this kind of crazy stuff. And yeah, I think they've done about 20 original songs for this show. So it's been great. And it was great for me as well to get like, yeah, to be able to learn a whole new instrument and have an organ. Not so great for the neighbors, not so great for anyone around me, but great fun for me.
And I would imagine that's going to creep into your own songwriting now. I mean, when you've got an extra muscle and you've got an extra tool, you know, you use it, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, like this show got pushed so much, and now the album is coming out the same day as the show ends.
Oh,
so
wow.
Like as I like leave my Daisy Jones and the Six band, my record is going to be coming out. That's like a very strange coincidence.
That's great. So with that, and I haven't read the book, I everyone tells me this book is amazing and the show is going to be amazing, but this has, it's the 70s, is that right?
Right, yeah.
So what was it like? Oh yeah, I was gonna say, what was it like, you know, really digging into that era and like, engulfing yourself in that that era of rock?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously so much to kind of, I mean, I love 70s rock. Like one of my favorite bands has always been like the Alessi Brothers. There's a song called Seabird. Like it's been great to kind of like get that whole 70s playlist going. And like the fashion is obviously really fun. And I think what's cool, like when people see the show, is that they actually have been, I think we really created, like, it's not just kind of going like, oh, here's everything cliche about the 70s. Let's just like throw it on them. I think because we have Blake Mills create the music, like he actually like kind of created our own kind of 70s sound, and it like doesn't actually sound exactly like anyone else, which is really really fantastic.
It's actually really hard to make a believable rock movie, rock series. Like, you know, we've heard about, like, Almost Famous was able to do it, you know, especially as we're talking about the 70s. Like, we're talking about one of the greatest right there, you know, to come along believable. Blake Mills, I would put my complete trust in. The guy is a musical genius and what he does.
We were at Sound City every day, Sound City Studios in LA. Like the production decided that like we had to be there. You know, I think that's where Stevie Nicks met, you know, the rest of Fleetwood Mac. So, you know, they were like, we want you posted up there. Tony Berg was our musical supervisor. He'd be producing crazy people's records in the next studio over. And we would all gather there every day. I mean, we did about 5 months rehearsal before shooting, just at Sound City every day. And I think, yeah, and there is like a loose, it's not really based off Fleetwood Mac, but there's like a loose kind of a loose base off there. So yeah, for me, I was like looking at a lot of Christine McVie interviews. She just released a documentary actually that was on the BBC. For a few weeks. And there's also a woman, a band called Fanny. Do you ever hear of that band called Fanny?
Yeah, it's familiar, but I couldn't name anything for you.
I think
they
were David Bowie's favorite band.
Okay.
And there's like, yeah, there's like one interview, she completely disappeared off the, basically just completely disappeared. Her name was Nikki, I think her name's Nikki Barclay. And she just, it's kind of like piecing together of fans on the internet, but there's one interview that really kind of like broke my heart that I kind of read over a lot of times. I still read over to kind of connect to the character.
Well, I'm seriously so looking forward to seeing that again. The way people talk about this book and everything, I mean, I think I should probably read the book beforehand too, but what you guys are doing out there, this sounds right up my alley with this. And you know, if these songs become famous in their own rights, I mean, do you pull those into your, you've got that opportunity, they become part of your set if you want them to?
I don't think so. That sounds like some kind of copyright thing. I don't that sounds
cover.
Like a mistake. No, but yeah, maybe a cover, that's true. Yeah, I think they'd like, well, it will, I think that there are plans to, you know, properly, yeah, release the music that's on there. But yeah, I know I'd have to check in with the good people of,
It's not a bad problem to have if that happens, by the way. Well, on the music side, I'll end with this. You also had the tour coming up with one of our favorites, artist Father John Misty, a fella who I've had on my series many times for some of my all-time favorite interviews. The man is hilarious and one of the greatest songwriters. I really want to fly out if I have to, or visit wherever you guys are going, because seeing the both of you on tour together, this feels perfect.
Please do. I'm still in a state of shock, so I don't even know what to say about going on tour with Father John Misty. I'm getting together I keep kind of looking through all these venues. My mom was very sweet the other day. She bought a map, and she just put a little pin on everywhere we're going and kind of drew it out to start planning where she wants to visit. But yeah, some of these places that we're playing, I'm like, Red Rocks, I think, is the first show. It's nuts. Radio City Hall. We've got Hollywood Forever Cemetery. I mean, like, yeah, I'm so unbelievably kind of overwhelmed and grateful for this opportunity that's like coming up this year.
Congratulations, seriously, on the success and on this record. I can't let go. It's so great what you've put together here. I mentioned still that song, and my mind, it's epic the way it goes. I mean, I'm kind of obsessed with those songs right now. So, you know, thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really fun chatting.
Yeah, anytime. And we'll see you on the road.
Thanks, Kyle.
And my thanks to Suki Waterhouse. Again, the new album is called I Can't Let Go. Big thanks to you as well for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button before you get out of here. Again, new episodes Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, YouTube for the video versions, WFPK.org, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, mostly on Twitter, but also Facebook and Instagram, all three of them at Kyle Meredith. Do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
This dark, mysterious album, which you... Sorry, there is a crazy thing outside. Should I just like move a little bit to the side? Can I answer that question again?
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey there, it's Kyle Meredith from Kyle Meredith With. After you check out the latest episode of my show, be sure to check out some of our other great programs on the Consequence Podcast Network, including Standing BTS, a bi-weekly podcast covering all things BTS and ARMY, and The Opus, Consequence's original documentary podcast exploring legendary albums and their lasting legacies. So head to consequence.net to listen to these podcasts and many great others.